Welcome to Mosaic Church Provo. To learn more about us or to support our mission, visit us at mosaicprovo.com. Thanks for listening.
Amen. What a fitting song to end our time in worship on. Welcome to Mosaic Church. My name is Alan. I'm one of the pastors here. If we haven't met, I'd love to be able to meet you, connect with you. One of the other pastors here would also love to meet with you and connect with you before you leave today. But if this is your first Sunday here, you are joining us in the middle of our Hebrews sermon series, The True and Better. We began this series back in September of last year, and it will take us through most of this year, the end of this year. So we are in the middle of it with Hebrews chapter 7. And this morning, if you've been with us for a while, if you've been with us through really this whole series or even the last few weeks, is likely the Sunday that many of you have been waiting for. And some of you might be wondering, well, what is so special about this morning? Well, it's the morning here at Mosaic that we finally wrap up chapter 7 of Hebrews. We continue on in our series, closing out with Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 through 28. It's been quite the journey through this chapter of Hebrews, because those who are receiving this letter of Hebrews, once Jews, now followers of Jesus, were for some reason interested in the Old Testament King of Salem, High Priest Melchizedek. Pastor David and Pastor Troy have preached the majority of chapter 7, so I got off, I feel like, pretty easy these last few weeks that we've been in this chapter. But we've gotten a good lesson of Old Testament high priests, and how Melchizedek is different than all of the other high priests, and how Jesus, the true and better high priest, is our eternal high priest and the one who has ushered in a new and better covenant. If you weren't here for the past few sermons over chapter 7, I encourage you to go back on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Listen to the Mosaic Church podcast. You can go back and hear some of those sermons from chapter 7 and all of Hebrews if you'd like, but specifically over chapter 7 of Hebrews, there's so much I just don't have time to recap and cover that. But as we close out this chapter with verses 26 through verse 28, we do so by seeing the author specifically focus in on the character of Jesus. Last Sunday, Pastor David preached a great message on chapter 7, verse 20 through verse 25, where we see that Jesus, under God's oath, is our eternal high priest who can actually save us. And now we come to the conclusion of the chapter, focusing in on the significance of the character of Jesus, our eternal saving high priest. So if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you, we have some here behind the pillars for you. I believe we also have some more of our Hebrews scripture journals in the back. If you don't have one of those, you feel free to get up, get one now, or get one as you leave. It's got the text of Hebrews on one page, and it's got a place for notes on the other side. But we are a Bible church here at Mosaic. We're text-driven. We walk through the text chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And that is what we will do this morning with Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 through verse 28. And it says this: "Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever." Would you pray with me? God, you are holy, as we just sang a few minutes ago. And Lord, now we open the word of you, a holy God. And in this time, Lord, would you fix our eyes on Jesus, our holy and perfect high priest. Lord, use me in my weakness, God. Teach us, convict us, encourage us. Lord, we just thank you so much for the privilege it is to open your perfect, authoritative word. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 through verse 28, as the author closes out his thought here, has more of a doxology feel to it. As the author closes out the chapter, they do so by highlighting the significance and the superiority of the person of Jesus. This is not necessarily something new. We've seen this all throughout the book of Hebrews up to this point, especially in Hebrews chapter 7. And the tone of these last three verses in the chapter is more of a tone of praise and worship, is what I mean by doxology. It's more of a tone of praise and worship. And my hope is that as we close out chapter 7, that you would leave here today, going into this week, having this same tone, one of praise and worship unto the King, our superior and permanent high priest, our permanent and perfect high priest. Verse 26 begins with the author listing some of the perfect character attributes of our permanent high priest, Jesus. The author writes again in verse 26, such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. The ESV, the English Standard Version, reads, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. You see, here as we close out this chapter, the author is essentially saying to us that no other high priest of old, not even Melchizedek, could truly meet our need. We have to remember, going back, this audience, those who are receiving this letter for the very first time, are so interested in the Old Testament high priest Melchizedek, and the author is saying here, no other high priest, no other Old Testament figure, not even Melchizedek could truly meet your need. All of the Old Testament high priests, all of Hebrews chapter 7, and even the entire book of Hebrews is meant to point us to Christ. It helps us read the Old Testament in perspective to the New Testament, to Christ. Verse 26, Jesus meets our need. We as broken sinners are not deserving of having our need of a permanent high priest met. The text does not imply that we are deserving of this, but rather it was necessary for us to have this kind of high priest if we were to have our sin atoned for, because without this type of high priest, without a holy, perfect, eternal high priest, there is no hope. We are in a state of utter hopelessness. And Jesus is the perfect solution. He is the perfect answer to our need, because without Jesus, we're hopeless. We're in a place of hopelessness. We're at the mercy of those high priests of the old covenant, which are other sin-filled, hopeless human beings. The first attribute that the author lists in verse 26, again, such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy. The first attribute is holy, holiness, the holiness of Jesus. And the author lists this for a specific purpose, and I believe he does so because holiness undergirds all of the other character attributes of the person of Jesus. Holiness is the foundation. Jesus is not only completely holy, he is holiness. Jesus is absolutely, perfectly moral and sinless, is what this means. Perfectly moral, perfectly sinless, totally set apart from us, and in His perfection, in His perfect perfection, His holiness, what this does is it reveals our separation from Him and from God the Father. At the prophet Isaiah's commission, it says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" This isn't a New Testament concept. This goes all the way back, all through the Old Testament. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, Jesus, our perfect high priest, who the author of Hebrews is describing here, Jesus, God made man, is holy and has been holy for all of eternity. Jesus did not somehow work His way into holiness, but His divine nature and His character is foundationed in perfect holiness. Jesus has been holy for all of eternity, and because He is perfectly holy, He fulfills the requirement to be a permanent high priest who is able to intercede for us. And you say, what's the significance here of this? Well, that is the significance, that because Jesus is holy and has been holy for all of eternity, He meets the requirement. The high priests had to be holy. They had to cleanse themselves. And Jesus, as we'll see here in just a few minutes, without sin, totally separated from sinners, met the requirement to be a permanent high priest who intercedes for us. If you can't find anything else to thank Him for today, in those moments when you just don't know what to thank the Lord for, thank Him for His perfect holiness, because in it, in the holiness of Jesus, we have a perfect and acceptable high priest forever. Jesus is holy, and His holiness reveals His perfection and His ability to perfectly atone for sin. The law, God's law, requires perfection. And it's quite obvious, because of our sin, because of our brokenness and the brokenness of this world, we are far from perfection. Even those who think they may be perfect, they still know deep down within they are far from perfect. They are broken, they are sinful. And for us, it is impossible, completely impossible, for us to be perfected apart from Christ. You cannot work your way into perfection. It's impossible. You cannot please God. And as we've seen so far in the book of Hebrews, the old covenant requires a perfect sacrifice. The old covenant, the old law, requires blood to be shed. There's a lot to the Old Testament sacrificial system, but essentially, at its core, the high priest would have to sacrifice an animal to temporarily deal with the sins of the people. And because the cross, and because of His perfect divine nature, because of His perfect character, Christ is our perfect sacrifice. He is blameless and pure. Again, in verse 26, one who is holy, blameless, and pure. Jesus is blameless and pure, and He, in His perfection, He meets the requirement to not just temporarily deal with the sins of the people, but He eternally, perfectly deals with the sins of the people, deals with our sin. And this is rooted in his perfect divine nature and his divine character. And Jesus, though he has identified with us in heart humanity in the incarnation, we celebrate this at Christmas time, God becoming man. You can read about this in John chapter 1. Jesus has identified with us in the incarnation. He is totally separate from us in holiness, innocence, purity, and overall character. Even in his humanity, he is set apart from sinners. The next attribute here in verse 26 again, he is set apart from sinners, meaning that Jesus, the God-man, even though he is fully man, even though he is completely identified with us in our humanity, he is still fully, completely God and completely sinless. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, if you flip back a few chapters in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. The main point here is this: he did not sin. He was sinless. God has exalted him, Jesus, above the heavens. Finally, in verse 26, exalted above the heavens. God has exalted him, Jesus, above the heavens. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11. Therefore, God exalted Him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We also get a glimpse of the resurrection and verse 26, where it says that Jesus is exalted above the heavens because Jesus has been resurrected from the dead and exalted above the heavens. He is, as we saw last week in chapter 7, verse 25, he is always living to intercede for us. We celebrated this just a couple of weeks back, Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection, and in that we celebrate that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, that He is exalted above the heavens, always living to intercede for us, those who have come to Him by faith. We also see His authority. Before Jesus had ascended, after He had been resurrected, Jesus, the one who has all authority, our perfect permanent high priest, comes before His disciples and He says, we know this is the Great Commission oftentimes, He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Jesus, our permanent, eternal, perfect high priest who has all authority, the one who meets our need as holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, and is exalted above the heavens. And yes, don't forget, verse 25, He is always living to intercede for us. Verse 27, the author goes on to say, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. The author again, as they do many times throughout the book of Hebrews up to this point, references back to the high priests of the Old Testament. Now, the high priests under the sacrificial system had to daily make sacrifices for his own sins, because without the high priest daily, frequently making these types of sacrifices, he was unable to temporarily offer an acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the people, on behalf of the people. And the high priest, day after day, would enter into the heart of the temple. And once a year, he would enter into the Holy of Holies, carrying the blood, on the Day of Atonement, carrying the blood of an animal sacrifices into the Holy of Holies, into the middle, into the heart of the temple, to make a sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. And we've seen up to this point that the shedding of blood is necessary for the forgiveness of sins. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no atonement without the shedding of blood. Now Jesus, by his own blood, has fulfilled the law, because according to the law, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. There's no atonement. To skip ahead a chapter in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, we'll cover this here in a few weeks. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. There is no atonement unless someone sheds blood. Day after day, year after year, the high priests would sacrifice within the temple. The temple was a vivid visual reminder of the sins of the people. As Pastor David mentioned in a sermon last week, and as Pastor Troy has also mentioned a couple weeks back, the temple was this clear reminder of the sins of the people. And the temple was not a beautiful and spotless place. It was a place that reeked of blood. It was a place that reeked of death and animal carcasses, all because of sin, which is disobedience toward a holy God. On the Day of Atonement, it's been said that blood has gushed down the streets. The blood of animal sacrifices, it's a mess. It is not a pretty picture when the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood and make animal sacrifices. The temple was a vivid reminder of the sins of the people, and it was a symbol of, and it was the center of, the sacrificial system. There is no rest. There is no freedom from sin in the sacrificial system, for the people or for the high priest, because the sacrificial system is a system of continued day after day work of sacrifice. And some of you here today may have the same type of mindset. You have this mindset that says, I have to do more. I have to work to earn God's favor. I have to work to earn God's love and His forgiveness. Let me take you to a story in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, when the Apostle Paul and Silas were in jail for the sake of the gospel, and having they were in jail having a midnight worship session. During this time, there was an earthquake, and the doors of the jail opened up, and instead of escaping, he and all the other prisoners, they didn't escape. They stayed right where they were. Paul and Silas stayed, and we read this about their interaction with the jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 27 through verse 31. Says this: the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." We have to know Paul, previous Saul, he, a devout Jew who knew the law, he knew the sacrificial system. And some of you might be asking that same question: what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do? Just tell me. Believe in Jesus. There is not one thing that you can do. There is not one act of worship or sacrifice or work that you can do to be saved. It's simple. Repent of your sin. Turn from your self-sufficiency. Turn from thinking that you can earn salvation and trust in Jesus' work alone on the cross, because it is enough to save you. Maybe you're born again. You've been walking with the Lord for a while. Maybe you've been serving the Lord in some way. And you too also have this same day after day work for forgiveness type of a mindset. Be reminded, be encouraged this morning that if you are in Christ, if you have been declared righteous, you have professed faith in Christ and in Christ alone, the work has been done. The work has been done. You can rest in Christ. There is not one thing you can do to make Him love you more. Because of our perfect high priest, you are covered in the righteousness of Christ. Right here, right now, this morning, you are righteous before God because of Christ. You're covered in His righteousness. Jesus, unlike all of the other high priests, was sinless. He says in verse 27, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He had no need as a high priest to sacrifice for his own sin because he had none. He is sinless. Jesus is unstained and Jesus is perfectly holy. And Jesus accomplished the requirement of perfect sacrifice when He carried and when He willfully climbed up on that cross, was nailed to the cross, and shed His own blood. The requirement was met. The requirement for a perfect high priest, for perfect blood to be shed, was fulfilled. And the shedding of His own blood was once and for all. Was once and for all. In John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Again, this is what we celebrated back on Good Friday, and we remembered this, that when Jesus died upon the cross, just before he gave up himself, he said, "It is finished. The work has been done. I've met the perfect righteous requirement to be your high priest. It's done. The work of the law has been fulfilled. It's complete." The requirement for a perfect sacrifice for sin had been made. And to our benefit, in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It doesn't say whoever goes to the temple to make sacrifice. It doesn't say whoever brings a animal sacrifice and sheds the blood of an innocent animal. It says whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. What this means is this, that for God so loved the world in this way in which Jesus would climb upon the cross, in this way, he became our perfect high priest, rooted in love, by offering himself as the perfect sacrifice in our place. This does not somehow mean that the high priesthood has been done away with. There's a common misconception that, oh, we don't have a high priest anymore. We do. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The author affirms the office of high priest, but it's not just any high priest. It's Jesus. And because he is our perfect high priest, we have rest. We have perfect righteousness. And the result of this, the result of Jesus giving himself for us as our perfect high priest, shedding his own blood, the result is imputed righteousness. We are given, we are covered in, and we are credited Christ's righteousness. We can't earn it. We only receive it by faith. We only receive it by faith. In verse 28, "For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever." As the author closes his thought, he does so by reminding this struggling, persecuted church of the superiority of Christ alone as their high priest. Christ is superior. He is unlike any high priest they have ever had before. He says, under the law, men in their weaknesses, in their sin, are appointed as high priests. But no matter the amount of sacrifice, no matter the amount of self-cleansing or work, or sacrifice that the high priests perform, they are not enough to once and for all deal with our sin. Even if the high priest shed his own blood, it's still not enough to deal with sin. And Jesus, under the oath that came after the law, was appointed the Son, and because of his being made perfect in his human experience and obedience, is what this means. He is the perfect high priest who has fulfilled the old covenant. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," at that moment, Jesus had fulfilled the old covenant. And back in verse 21 of Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7, verse 21, the author quotes Psalm chapter 110, verse 4, in reference to Jesus. This is the oath that the author references back to. It says in Psalm 110, verse 4, "The Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Jesus, such a great high priest, truly meets our need. Truly meets our need. He is our permanent, He is our perfect high priest forever. In your need, run to Jesus. It is so tempting to go to anyone and to go to anything else in our need, but run to Jesus. Pastor theologian R. Kent Hughes says this: "He, Jesus, was and is infinite and is infinitely pure. In His infinity, He created everything. All the 100,000 million stars of the galaxy and the 100,000 million galaxies with as many or more stars. And when He hitched His infinity and infinite purity to mankind, His sacrifice was sufficient." And it follows, "So is His priesthood. Through all of this, through all of chapter 7, the book of Hebrews, we're told that Jesus is enough. We're reminded that Jesus is not only true, Jesus is not only better, but in the high priesthood, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Such a holy, loving, kind, merciful, faithful high priest that we have. In your need, church, in those moments of doubt and hopelessness, anxiety, depression, whatever it is you might face, your uncertainty, go to Him, because Jesus, our holy, perfect, permanent high priest, is enough. Run to Him. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You have truly met our need. Lord, thank You that You are holy and blameless, pure, set apart from us, from broken sinners. And God, You are exalted above the heavens, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, we thank You that we can rest in You, that the work has been done. And Lord, that You declare us broken sinners, holy and righteous because of Christ and Christ alone. Or for those who might be here today who have never professed faith in Christ, they're still trusting and hoping in themselves, maybe the work and sacrifice that they can do, God, remind them, show them that You are enough. There's not one thing they can do to earn salvation and righteousness. God, for those who do know You, have been walking with You, who are just tired, worn out, and weary, remind them too that there is perfect rest in Christ, their perfect, eternal high priest. Lord, we love You. We thank You. It's in Your name we pray.